And okay, so we're starting up top of the page. Bishlosha mekomot hakohanim shomrim beveit hamikdash. There are three different locations that the kohanim, the priests, would guard in the Beit HaMikdash. Beit Avtinas, Beit HaNitzot, Beit HaMoked. So these three different places. Avtinas, Nitzot, Beit HaMoked. Avtinas, presumably someone's name. Nitzot, and Nitzot is like a spark, something. If you heat metal up, the Nitzotzot, these sparks coming out. Also the Hasidic concept of Nitzotzot. Eliyahu, I'm looking at your direction. Nitzotzot are sparks. And then Beit HaMoked, a moked is a big fire. So those are three different rooms that the Kohanim would hang out in. Beveit Avtinas, Beveit HaNitzot, Hayu Aliyot, Harovim, Shomrim, Sham. So in those two chambers, Avtinas and Nitzot, there would be an Aliyah. There would be like an upper level, an attic almost. Not almost, an attic. Harovim, Shomrim, Sham. And the Rovim, these sort of young priests, that's where they would hang out, in that attic area. Beit HaMoked, Kippah. So the Beit HaMoked, again, that the room that had like this bonfire type of thing. Kippah was like a kippah. It had a domed top. Uvayit gadol haya, mukaf rov din shel evan. So it was a huge bayit gadol. It was a very large hall surrounded by these stone bricks. Ziknei beit av yishenim sham, umaftachot hazara biadam. And so the elders of the families, there was a rotation of the Kohanim who would work in the Beit HaMikdash. So the elders who were up that rotation, they would sleep in that room and they would sleep with the keys. No one would have access to it. They would be sleeping with the keys. Pirchei kehuna ish kisto ba'aretz. And so the young Kohanim, they would sleep with their clothing on the ground. Lo yishenim bevigdei kodesh. They wouldn't sleep in their in the big day kodesh, in the priestly garments. They wouldn't sleep in them. Ela yu poshtin umanichin otan tachav rashem. They would undo them. They would just fold them up and use them as a pillow. Umit kasin bichsud atzman. And what they would sleep in was actually their own clothing. A ra keri lechad mehen yotze veholech. So if one of them is a wet dream, a semen emission, which would render them impure. So if that happens, so they would leave. And that's presumably why they didn't sleep in the priestly clothing, because they wanted to make sure that it maintained a level of sanctity. And if something were to happen while they were sleeping, they would ruin the clothing. So they would sleep in their own clothing. Okay, but if this happened, so that automatically, that means that Cohen was no longer eligible to serve the following day in the Beit HaMikdash. So he would leave. So he would go in this like sort of circuitous walkway underneath the temple. Benarot dolkin mikan, and it would be underground. It's like underground passageway that have this candle lit along the hallways. That's how we'd be able to see. Ad shemagia levet hatzvila, it would go until he gets to the mikvah. There was a mikvah in the Temple Mount, and that's where they would go. He would go to the mikvah. Umedurah hatasham, and there was a madura. There was a big bonfire that was burning there. Oved hakiseh shel kavod, there was also a bathroom there called a beit hakiseh shel kavod, an honorable bathroom. Zaya kvodo, what does it mean that it was an honorable bathroom? So the honor of it was mitzao na'ul, yodesh yesham adam, patuach biyadur she'en sham adam. If it was closed, you wouldn't have to knock and say, hey, is anyone here? What's going on? You know, the rule was if the door was closed, sort of like, I'm sort of picturing maybe lahavdil, like an airplane bathroom. Like if you see the red little bar, you know it's occupied. If you see the green, it's not occupied. So here, if the door was closed, you know it's occupied. You don't have to start walking and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you're, you know, you don't have to do any of that. The door is closed, it's occupied. The door's open, it's not occupied. And so it was considered an honorable bathroom because people could, you didn't have to like walk, you never walked in on someone accidentally in the bathroom. You always knew beforehand. So this person goes, they go to this area where the mikveh is. Yerad v'taval alav anistapeg, they would go down, go into the mikveh, do tevila, come up, and then dry himself off. And then he would go to the where that bonfire was and sort of hang out in front of the bonfire. That was sort of keep him warm. Ad shayu, so they would stay there. V'yashavlo etzel chavakonim. Then he would just stay with the rest of the kohanim. Ad shayu sherim niftachim yotzev holechlo. And he would stay there with the rest of the kohanim until the gates would open, until the door would open, and then he would leave. He couldn't leave in the middle of the night because the doors were locked and he had to stay there. But as soon as the doors got unlocked, as soon as the work in the Beit HaMikdash started, he would get out of there because he was not fit to work. So we went to the mikvah. So you would say, well, we went to the mikvah. Isn't that enough? So the rule is for something like this level of impurity from the seminal emission, the rule is it requires Ha'erev Shemesh. It requires sunset, right? So, and this is actually, if anyone never learned the beginning of Masechet Brachot, this is discussed the first mission of Masechet Brachot, when a person becomes impure, so one of this, in this form of impurity, the first thing they need to do is they need to go to the mikvah, but then they still have to wait until sunset. After they've gone to the mikvah, they have the status of Tevul Yom. They've gone to the mikvah, but now they just still have to wait till the end of the day. So this individual went to the mikvah right away, but he's not eligible to go back to do work until sunset. So if it happened in the middle of the night, he's going to have several hours until he's eligible to work again. So that's why as soon as the doors open, he leaves, because there's no real purpose for him being in the Beit HaMikdash at this point, since he's not eligible to do any of the work. Mishahu rotze lichrom et hamizbeach mashkim v'tovel ad shelo yavo hamemunah. So the way it would work in the Beit HaMikdash, if you ever wanted to do any of the work, there was a lottery system. The lottery would be that we're actually going to learn a little bit about how the lottery would work. There'd be a lottery system for every task that had to happen in the Beit HaMikdash. So if you wanted to do, if you wanted to be one of the, you wanted to do the first thing was Trumat HaDeshen. The first thing that you would do was cleaning off the ash from the, cleaning off the ash from the residual ash from yesterday's korbanot. So that was still sitting on the Mizbeach. So the first thing you do is cleaning the ash off. You'd scoop part of the ash out. So that was the first task. So if you wanted to be you wanted to have a shot at that, so you'd have to go to the mikvah. This mikvah was just a preparatory mikvah. This is not mikvah because you were impure. This is mikvah because you wanted to do something. Anytime you do anything in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to have a state of purity. Even if you've done nothing, you've touched nothing, it's still an element of going to the mikvah. So you'd go to the mikvah. So if you want to be part of that, you want to have an eligibility for that first task, you'd go to the mikvah. Mashkim v'tovel ad shelo yavo hamemunah. You'd want to make sure that you went to the mikvah, got out of the mikvah, you're already ready to go. So when the person came in who sort of oversees the lottery, you want to make sure that you're ready to go. So you went to the mikvah before he got there. When would the memunah come? Lo kol etim shavot. It wasn't necessarily a predictable time. Not all times were the same. So it would be sometime around when the rooster crows, sometimes before, sometimes after. It was hard to predict. So that meant that you would set your alarm, early to the kohen. If you wanted to make sure you were part of that Trumat Hadeshen, you wanted to have access, you wanted to have the eligibility to removing the ashes. So you would make sure you wake up extra early. You've gone to the mikvah, you come back up, and you're just sitting there waiting for the memunah, waiting for the person to do the lottery to get there. So you're ready to go. So then the memunah, the appointed priest, would come, knock on the wall where everyone was sleeping, knock on the door, they'd open up for them. Then patchulo amar lahen, misha taval yavo v'yafis. So you say, anyone who's gone to the mikvah, and presumably they were trusted. You didn't have to say, give me your, vaccine card, give me your card that says that you went to the mikvah. They'd be trusted. You'd say, whoever went to the mikvah, come and you'll be part of this lottery. Hefisu, they would do this lottery. Misha zacha, zacha bo. Whoever wins, wins. So they would do the lottery. Okay. That's the Mishnah. A lot of details just about what happened, between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., let's say, in the Beit HaMikdash. So far, so good. Anyone, any questions, anything not clear about this Mishnah so far as we're going through it? Okay, I take that as everyone's good. Okay, so the Gemara is going to ask now, Minahani Mili, how do we know this? How do we know that there are these three different places that the Kohanim would hang out at night? Amar Abaye, Amar Kras, so he says, Amar Abaye, Abaye quotes this pasuk from Sefer Bamidbar, V'achonim lifnei hamishkam, keid ma lifnei ol moed, bizracha, Moshe ve'aharon, uvanav shamrim mishmeret hamikdash, l'mishmeret b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk says, and those that were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting, toward the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the watch of the sanctuary for the watch of the children of Israel. And the non-priest who came near to was put to death. So that's the pasuk. So the Gemara, so presumed what he sees here is, I guess he learns, Abaye is learning from these verses, there's these, well, we'll see. Amri, Shimur be alma ashkechem, debai kohanim ulevim shimur. Mihu matznitin ketani bishlosha mekamora kohanim shomrim beveda mikdash. So it says, okay, you've brought this pasuk. This pasuk, without question, talks about how they were camping eastward before the tabernacle. Okay, they were keeping watch of the sanctuary. Shomrim bishmer da mikdash. I get it. I believe you that this verse tells me that there was such a thing as keeping watch. But the Mishnah, not our Mishnah, another Mishnah in Masechet Midot, but another Mishnah says, Bishlosha mekomot hakohanim shomrim beveda mikdash, velevim besrim vechad makom. There were Kohanim would watch in 3 places, Levim in 21 places. Ve'ilukra Kohanim Levim b'hadi hadadi ketiv. This verse talks about Moshe, who's a Levi, Aaron, who's a Kohen, and it doesn't seem to make any distinction about where they would be or different places. All it says, there is Mishmeret, there is guarding. So, okay, the Gemara says, look, Abaye, that was a great proof that there is something as Shimor. The Kohanim would have to guard the building. But it doesn't say who's where, how many places, Kohanim, Levim. It doesn't give any of that detail. So Amri Hachi Kamar. So they say, no, this is what it means. Bechonim vehachonim lifnei amishkan kedma lifnei olmoed mizracha Moshe. So they read it as he parses the pasuk. I don't have the verse in front of me, but it might not actually make sense as far as where the punctuation of the verse is. But the way the Gemara here understands it is he understands bechonim lifnei amishkan kedma lifnei olmoed mizracha Moshe. So there was those who were camping and before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting towards the sunrise, were Moshe. Period. Moshe is in this place. Aharon uvanav shomrei mishmeret hamikdash. Aharon and sons are somewhere else, which means, okay, we have a place for the Moshe, aka Levim, and we have a place for the Kohanim, aka Aharon. So the Gemara says, Aharon bechad makom uvanav, bishnei mekomot. I'm sorry, right? Aharon bechad makom. Aharon is in one place, vanav, and his children in another place. Bishnei mekomot, they're in 2 places, I guess, because it's banav is plural, so Aaron is in one place, his kids are in 2 other places, so 1 and 2, that's 3. So now you know the Kohanim are in 3 different places. So the Gemara is going to ask, Mimai, but how do I know that this is true? Midichtiv ha'chonim, uchtiv shomrim, chonim l'chud, v'shomrim l'chud. So I might say, so how do I know that Aaron and his sons are not together? I might think, just like Moshe's, the verb associated with Moshe is chonim, and Moshe is in only one place. So chonim, they're all together, and shomrim are all together. Levim are all together, and kohanim are all together. How do I know that they're actually, kohanim are in 3 separate places? The Gemara says, Ema kulhu bechad makom l'chudei. Maybe, I'm sorry, this continuation. Ema kulhu bechad makom l'chudei. Maybe they're all actually, they're all kohanim over here, levim over here, and they're just in 2 separate places. The Gemara says, no, lo sal kedatach. Ma Moshe b'chad makom l'chudei, af Aharon v'nav b'chad makom l'chudei. The Gemara says, no. Moshe was on his own. No one else was around him. Moshe was on his own. And so we can apply whatever happened to Moshe and the Levim. So that's the same thing for the Kohen. So just like Moshe was the only guy there, so then Aaron and his sons, they were each the only person there. Aaron was his own person, only one there, just like Moshe was on his own. And Banav, the children, so the smallest number that is still plural is 2. So that means 2 children. Aaron is on his own someplace, Moshe is on his own place, and the kids, 2 people are each, 2 people are each on their own in different places. So you have Aaron is in one place, his son is in one place, the other son is in another place. Now we've established that there are 3 places that the Kohanim would be. Rav Ashi Amar, Misefe Tekra. Rav Ashi says, no, I've got a better proof. Misefe Tekra, Shomrim Mishmeret LaMishmeret. If you look back at that verse, that Abaye had initially quoted, you have the word shomrim, you have the room shomrim, mishmeret, and lemishmeret. So that's has the same shoresh, shin mem resh, to guard. So he says, look, you have the word guard 3 times. That means there are 3 different places they were guarding. Proof, there you go. That's all you need. That's how you know they were doing it in 3 different places. Kohanim have 3 different places they hang out. Everyone good so far? So this Gemara is just establishing how we know the Mishnah has said and assumed 3 different places of the Kohanim. The Gemara wanted to know, how do we know that? It's learned out from this pasuk from Sefer Bamidbar. We'll continue a little bit more. And we're making great time. We're good. Okay. So Beit Av Tinasu Beit Hanitzot. So we had these two additional places. So Ibar Yelehu. Aliyot Mamash Hayu? Ahavu o dilma dahavu gvihi migba ka'aliyot. The question is, so the Mishnah had said that they had these like attics. So not addicts. I pronounce that word like addict. Addict. They had attic. They had upper levels. So the question is, were they actually upper levels, or just were they just have like high ceilings? So they sort of felt like there was an attic somewhere up top, but it wasn't actually a technical, really an attic. Were they really high up, or were they actually attics? Smart says, analyzes here. Tashma, ditnan, shebatzafon shar hanitzot, kamin achsadra haya, valiya benuya al gabash, akonim shamrim milamala, valamim milamata, fetach hayalo, hayalo lacho. So this is, look, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Midot. The Mishnah in Masechet Midot says that there were three different gates in the north. And one of them was this gate of the Shar HaNitzot. And it says, Kaminach Sadra Haya. It was like a porch, basically. The Aliyah Benuya Al-Gaba. And there was this Aliyah built on top of it. Shekoanim Shomrim Milamala. So the Shekoanim would be up there. Levim Milamata and Levim would be down there. So presumably, so that means it's actually calling it. It's, again, is another proof from Masechet Midot that it's establishing that when it was built, there was a lower level, and then there was Aliyah Benuya Al-Gaba. There was something built on top of it. So without a doubt, it was actually an upper level, like a balcony type thing. It wasn't just like it. It really was, because there was something on top and something below, and the Mishnah here proves that. All right, so Minahan Imili, so the Gemara isn't asking, so how do we know? So the Mishnah that we just quoted from Masechet Midot, by the way, we quoted now twice. Masechet Midot, the word Midah is a measurement. Masechet Midot is about the measurements. It gives all the details of how the Beit HaMikdash was built. So that's going to be relevant when we're talking about the choreography of what's happening and where it's happening in the Beit HaMikdash. Masechet Midot is going to be very helpful because Masechet Midot is going to give us the actual blueprints of the Beit HaMikdash. So when you say, oh, someone was here, then we go over there. So Masechet Midot is going to help us give like a full picture as to where that was. But that's why Midot came up and is going to keep on coming up. Okay, so the question had been, so how do I know that Masechet Midot, how does Masechet Midot know that Kohanim would be at top and Levim would be down below? So to Tana Rabbanan, the Yilavu Alecha Vishartucha. So another pasuk from Masechet Bamidbar, that they may accompany, so the full pasuk, and your brethren, also the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, you shall bring near with you, that they may accompany you and serve you. Right? So this is Bavodatcha Ketuv Medaber. As you serve, so as you, Aharon, serve, so the Levim, the people from the tribe of Levi, are going to serve you. So they're going to accompany you. So the Kohanim are going to be doing the work, but the Levim are going to be accompanying. They're going to be around. Ata omer ba'avodatcha ketuv medaber, o ena ela ba'avodatam. So the question is, like, who is it saying? Is it saying that the Levim are going to accompany the priests when they're doing it? So it's going to be the priests really doing the work, and then the Levim are just going to be sort of like hanging out and helping? Or is it the other way? Or is it that they're going to be accompanying you when you're doing your thing? Shumer v'nilvu alecha v'shamru l'chol keilav l'chol avodato harev avodatam amur hamani makan v'ilavu alecha v'shartucha v'avodatcha ketuv medaber haketzar kohanim shomrim milamala levim milimata. So the pasuk says, so the Gemara says, how do I know that maybe the kohanim are going to be helping the levim? So the Gemara says, no, that's another pasuk. V'nilvu alecha v'shamru, that's another pasuk. There's another verse that's talking about how the Aharon and the priest are going to accompany the Levim, and there's going to be a certain time when they do that. So this verse, Yilavu Alecha Vishartucha, that's not going to be that. That's going to be when you are going to be doing your work, the Kohanim, you're going to be doing the work, and the Levim are just going to be accompanying you. And the Gemara says, HaKetzad, so what does that mean? Kohanim Shomrim Milamala, the Kohanim are going to be up top, and so they're going to be able to look down and do, like, their work is going to be actually standing guard and making sure everything is okay. And the Levim are going to be underneath, who are, I guess, they're on the lower ground, so that they can't see as clearly. So they're clearly not the ones doing the real shmira. They're not doing the real guarding because they're on the ground. The Kohanim up top, they're doing the real guarding. But the Levim are just going to accompany you. So you'll be up top. You, Aaron, you, the Kohanim, will be up top. And then, okay, you, the Levim, underneath. So you'll just be accompanying them. Because we have two verses. One is talking about how the Kohanim will, you know, help out the Levim. And the other one is the Levim will help out the Kohanim. this is an example of the Levim helping out the Kohanim. They'll be doing, the Kohanim will be doing the real Shmira, they'll be doing the real guarding, and the Levim on the bottom, they'll just be sort of accompanying and assisting. Any questions on that? I think what we'll do, we're already now, we've made it now to Chavav Amid Bet, 26b, so we'll stop at this point, we'll pick up here. I think tomorrow night is going to be the next night, but before we stop, does anyone have any questions, anything not clear about this? Again, we're just sort of going through where everyone's going to be standing, you know, between the hours of, you know, 12 a.m. when everyone went to sleep, and then, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. when the day starts going. This is where the different people are going to be standing and situated. Everyone clear with that?
The proof for why the chamber of the sparks was above, were they also using that for the other one that they started out like the sugya with, Beit Avtinas? Are they also saying that that's above, or do we just not know yet?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. It's my guess is what the Gemara is saying is, because the Gemara was wondering, was it really an upper level, or was it just like an upper level? So, it was asking the question about both of them,
right? But then this answered.
So this answered for Beit Anitzot. So presumably the Gemara is assuming that it also answers for Beit Avtinas as well. But it's a good question. I'd want to look and spend a little more time looking into it. But my suspicion is that it's asking the question about both of them together. So this answer for Beit Anitzot is assumed to be answering for the other one as well. At least that's how the Gemara is assuming to answer it.
Got it.
Good question. Any other questions? Excellent. Okay, so we'll pause here on Chavav Amud Bet, and we'll pick up with this more discussion of the Beit HaMoked tomorrow night. All right. Laila Tov. This will be put up online. I'm not sure what form it'll be, but it'll be up online. So if you missed it, Matthew or anyone else, you can catch it there. If we went too quickly, you can listen to it on, you know, 0.5 speed. You can look at it again, but there you go. You can also catch up on Safari if you weren't sure. All right. Laila Tov, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.